For businesses around the world, today isn't a restart, it's a rethink. That's why they're partnering with IBM. Retailers are keeping their systems up as millions of orders move online. Call centers are using IBM Watson to manage customer questions with AI. And solutions built on the IBM cloud are helping patients receive trusted information. Today, we're rethinking how business moves forwards. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Team is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and hopefully your soul. I am Melissa Ford.
I'm Chantel Anderson.
I'm Blue Tulusma.
Those are my co-hosts. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like family matters, like, bing, it's Blue.
Okay, so you guys, this is our very first episode, and we are at Cast Studio, so it might look a little bit familiar since this is where we tape Hollywood Unlocked, but I wanted it to be a little bit more comfy for you guys and for you guys because essentially, you know, this is girl talk, so like, you know, take your bra off, you know, have a glass of wine or three. There's vodka in there. No, I'm kidding. It's too early. It's too early. But, you know, our audience at Hollywood Unlocked is 68% women. And whenever I would have, you know, an all women panel, a lot of the women really enjoyed that. And they wanted more of that because they want, you know, they want us to talk about stuff that relates to our lives,
for
you
sure.
know, and being sandwiched in between two alpha males. Well, you know, the testosterone runs kind of heavy, and this is basically for you guys, is what I'm saying. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept of the show and the name. Where does the name I'm Here for the Food come from, and where's the food? Well, food is figurative here, okay? It's about, you know, food for thought, food for your soul. And the name really is a play on my dating life, because usually I'm going for
wow. Okay, we're going right there. We just started and we're already doing the truth bombs. Okay.
But it's true. I mean, like over 20 years ago when I would be going out on dates.
When you were five.
No, 20 years ago.
A little lunch pail going on your dates.
They know how old I am.
Black don't crack. I love it.
Yeah, black don't crack. But yeah, I used to go out on dates just because sometimes I didn't want to cook. You know, or sometimes I was just bored and wanted some conversation, not from anybody that I had really any interest in sleeping with or anything like that, you know. So I would go on dates. My girlfriend's the next day. So how was your date? I was like, bitch, I was there for the food. I got leftovers for lunch today. And it was just, it was so much a part of, like, you know, my regular routine. I was like, one day I'm going to do something with this. I don't know what it is. But one day I'm going to do something with this. And here it is, you know. I mean, it just started to kind of, you know, just be this reoccurring theme in my life because, yes, I still go on dates for the food.
No, she doesn't. That is a joke. On behalf of Melissa's legal counsel, that is a joke, guys. She doesn't mean that. This is all figurative speaking. Food is not real in any of these stories.
But the funny, y'all know, because you know, some women out there, they have food in their phone. Like the guy's name is food.
Oh, that's savage.
Or the number, and then dash food.
Yeah, like, dash food.
You mean an eggplant? Because that's not food.
No. It's food. Like
actual
it means,
food.
Yeah,
okay.
It means I'm going to Mastro's tonight, you know? And the funny thing is all these signs just kept popping up. Like the New York Post posted this. It's a study. This was the headline. Study, : a third of women go out on dates just for the food. I was like, newsflash. Fucking news at 11. What are you talking about?
Lying, then, is what you mean.
Meanwhile, all the men are like, what?
I was like, oh, Okay, well.
Secret's out.
Yeah, the jig is up.
Mm. Is it really a secret, though, or is it just a bartering system that we don't ever talk about?
See, there you go.
I'm just saying. I don't think it's a secret.
I think
they have a line item that says food with a peach next to it. I think everybody has that line item, yeah.
Yeah, if you think about it like this, can a guy really say, I'm taking you out on this date in the hopes that I'm going to fuck you? Most men are not going
Absolutely
to say
they're not
something
gonna
like
say that.
That.
No, he
but
can't
they will
that.
Say
no.
Order whatever you want on the menu.
Yeah,
which means
what is it?
Kind of.
That's what that means.
I'm expecting you to take shallow breaths and you know be a team player. Like, no, I'm being serious. If someone says order whatever you want and you're at Nobu, like you might want to go
right.
in the bathroom and take a bird bath.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to go along with it, but that's what he's aiming
Bird
for.
Bird bath, hoe bath, right. Okay, so that's where the name I'm Here for the Food comes from. But it just developed into so many other things for me, food for thought, food for the soul. And I just thought that it just was, just an appropriate title, So I did a casting process because I did not know if I could find funny, witty, dynamic, intelligent, beautiful women of color.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you.
It's like a Tinder profile.
In Los Angeles.
What else? And then what happened?
Let's go.
I did not know if I was going to be able to find that. So I want to read for you the casting notice that I sent out, okay? This was the actual casting notice. Here, come up close on that, Trent. You got that? There you go. Okay, this is the casting notice that I sent out. And it says, casting call, looking for two women of color, co-hosts for a celebrity podcast that must be candid and witty, sassy but intelligent, and most of all, unapologetic in all of her badassness. This was the actual casting.
So check. Yeah.
professional experience in the field of culinary arts and law and mental health, blah, blah, blah. That shit doesn't matter. But anyways,
I know a lot about culinary arts.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of Top Chef.
Okay.
So, a mousse bouche, see?
I cook when I need to.
I love a mousse bouche.
I love
a mousse bouche.
See? And I can say stuff and people know what I mean. Because
I don't
chef.
Even know what
You know
is.
How I know about mousse bouche?
Because you were there for the food.
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
I've gone out on so many dates in fancy
circle.
Restaurants just for the
you
food. Because And I learned a lot about, fancy shit.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
It's like
it's a single bite that's supposed to wet the palate before the meal begins.
Well, I couldn't have said that better.
It's supposed to amuse your mouth.
Oh, okay. Apparently, I need to go to more bougie restaurants.
Or watch Top Chef, get like some cable.
Or that.
It's a great show. Top Chef, please be sponsors. Hi, guys.
Well, so the casting process happened, and I think I put the casting notice up on Wednesday morning. By Wednesday evening, I had 600 submissions. Yeah. And wow. I said women of color, but everybody just responded. It was every type of
They're
woman.
They're like, I'm a color.
Yeah, a color. So, I was like, not what I was thinking, but okay. And I wasn't necessarily thinking, black, African-American, whatever.
Right.
I was thinking just anything,
It's not white.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Can we say that? I don't know.
Melanin deficient. We love you all.
Yeah, we love everybody. We could go just because I wanted to discuss, oftentimes the situations that we find ourselves in. We have a very specific conversation that we have with one another.
Right.
We are very nuanced and we understand our nuance. All I got to do is say, and y'all understand what I'm
like,
talking
about. Oh, really?
About.
What happened?
You guys understand
right.
what
and
I'm
then
talking
you go
about
to the
when
corner
I'm just
and talk
like,
about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just said a mouthful
right.
just by
That's
that,
true,
you know.
Right.
I got a funny story about that, but later on. Anyways, so all of these women came in for the castings, and they were so fantastic and all in just so many different ways. And you were part of the first casting that I did. You came in.
Look at you being a pioneer.
No, come on, casting.
And the first thing that I noticed about you was your smile. It looks like a piano, like a keyboard.
It is a Cheshire smile.
Like, yeah, Cheshire Thank smile. You. It really is. It's like from ear to ear.
You have
it,
all your original teeth.
And they're gorgeous teeth.
I actually, this one is fake because I was jumping on a trampoline and I went.
Oh, don't tell them that. Let's rewind. So you have all your original teeth. That's amazing, girl.
No, I used to get made fun of somebody I was dating one time. She used to be like, do I have to see all your teeth when you smile? And I was like, yes.
That was a complaint.
Yes. No, it wasn't. She was just making fun of me. But
aww.
Yeah.
Well, Chantal walked in with this, you know, Colgate smile and these red lips. And I was just like, wow. Okay. Like blinded, you know. And I loved her energy. She just had a very, you walked in and you were very warm immediately, you know. And, very tall. She's 6'6". I'm 5'3". She's 6'6". Okay.
I just want everybody to address this. I am 5'9". I am a very tall woman. Whatever you
that
are seeing.
That is fake tall.
Whatever you're
5'9" is fake tall.
Whatever you're seeing in this seat right now is not a representative of who I am in the real life. You make me feel short. Yeah. I'm always like the tallest girl and you're 6'6".
5'9" is not even that tall.
It's according really, it's
to my
tall
doctor,
to me.
No, according to I my mean, doctor yeah. chart, I'm on the top end where like the title is.
Yeah.
You're somewhere on the wall.
See, this is true. But for me, I played basketball. I played in the WNBA. And so I was on the taller side.
Did you just flex?
But
no. Like, I'm 6'6", but I was on the WNBA.
I
so
mean,
I got
at least
paid.
I did something with it.
True. You know. True. Mm-hmm.
But anyone under like 5'10 is just kind of like all in the same place.
So you've forsaken
until
me
you,
until one
you
inch.
Get to like 5'6". And then everyone under 5'6 is like in one category.
So basically, I'm like
you're just short. Like I'm I don't really know short. How tall you are, but
I'm 5'3".
Like, everyone goes.
Yo,
in there.
I'm 5'3".
But my
we just
mom
started.
I walk
show.
In the room like I'm 6 feet tall. I walk in the room like I'm 6 feet tall.
But at least you're short. Like you're steadily short. You're saying 1 inch is the reason why you won't call me tall.
No, people are
you
just
see this?
In categories.
You see how they forsake me? 1 inch.
People are just in categories.
I said, Chantal,
like,
5'9".
Short.
Oh. Blue, you're tall.
Short.
You're tall to me. Almost okay.
That doesn't mean much. You're what?
Hey.
This went off the rails. Let's get
my
back.
My mom's 5'4", so I understand. Like, listen,
was that I'd a be pity
like,
shout out?
I'd be like, mom.
We're gonna. That's funny. Yeah, we're gonna get into like genetically how this all happened. We're gonna figure this out because I believe I was supposed to be taller, but hey, here I am. A tall little person. So Chantal walked in, Colgate smile, red lips, all this warmth, and she sat down, and I liked her, but I wasn't sure.
But oh, I didn't.
No. It's not that. It's just I knew I needed to do another casting.
Yeah. Single
you know?
Tier.
And so I went out to dinner or lunch with Angie, who owns Shade Room.
We love Angie.
Yeah, who's a very good friend of yours and now a good friend of mine. And so Angie and I were just talking. I was telling her about the podcast and what I was looking for in terms of co-hosts and stuff like that. She was just like, you need to interview my girl Blue. She's a Haitian witch. I said, I absolutely need to meet this woman. I have to meet this woman now. And so I set up another casting and some really incredible women came to the casting. Blue walked in the door and basically blew it off its hinges.
I was just a daffodil. I walked in there so tender and so sweet. And Lissa said, come out your shell and be
lies and treachery will get you lying. Nowhere.
I am lying.
The truth will set know, you free.
I actually
Listen.
Didn't know what was really happening because I was at IKEA when I was looking at pillows because I really like pillows. Mm-hmm. And like I'm looking through pillows at IKEA and I get a text, hey, do you want to come do a podcast with Melissa Ford? I was like, sure, she's nice. I met her at a party. And then I put my phone down and went back to like looking through pillows. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we were like 5 minutes into the conversation that I was like, Melissa, you know, we've met before.
Yeah. And I was like, mm-hmm. We have. I mean, it feels like I've known you forever after she walked in the room and we started talking. I was like, wait, sit down in front of the microphone, record this, you know, because we just started talking like immediately.
Right.
The chemistry was right there. And then you were like, we've met before. I said, oh, shit, where?
Yeah.
What so is
we
the details?
Everyday tell people. Us the story.
So Chef Roble has this party called Everyday People.
Oh, is bomb.
It is amazing. Yeah. It's in New York and now it's in LA. I think it's going to like a couple
it's
other places.
It's in South Africa. It's in
it's
London.
In South Africa.
He's doing it everywhere.
It's an amazing party. So I had another show that I was supposed to be a part of. I won't mention them. They won't get a shout out. Mm-hmm. And my castmates and I were all in this little VIP section And all of a sudden, I look over and I'm like, oh, go, there goes Melissa Ford. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to you and I was like, oh, you're so pretty. And I was like, oh, you look stressed. Oh, and no. I pulled a joint out of my bra and said, do you want some? And she was like, sure. And then we smoked a joint. I was like, you look better now. And then yeah. I walked away.
Yeah.
And that's how Melissa and I met yeah. until my audition, where I was like, oh, you're the lady with the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was in a glass tube. It was very clean. I'm a sanitary joint sharing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's how we met. So Blue sat down. We started talking. And I was like, okay, there was just really no other thought than she's the second one.
I prayed
so
on this.
Who's the third? And then I started to think about the third person. I started going through all of the resumes and the pictures and stuff like that, and the notes that I'd written and stuff like that. And I was like, let me find out Chantal ended up coming out on top of everybody else. Because it just, the similarities and the differences all will come to find are enormous.
Sugar and spice is the euphemism that I'm using.
That's a good description.
Spice. Yeah. Well,
and then Melissa makes us a snickerdoodle. Is that what they call it? Yeah, we're a big cookie.
Yeah. Okay, great. Awesome. So it was, the casting process happened. Snickerdoodle.
I'm
going
to choose not to feel some type of way about being picked last.
No.
Because I'm here.
No.
Because I'm here.
No, it's literally like just sometimes the puzzle pieces, you're like, okay, this is the one that works here. It's like, no, it doesn't work there. It just looked like it worked there. It was one of those things.
Yeah.
And it's just the energy that you want to create. Yeah. And it's the kind of conversations that I believe that our audience deserves. Mm. And every woman was amazing. They all were. It's just my brain, I'm an idea factory. So a lot of them just gave me, no, I'd want you for this. You know, so I have a whole bunch of other projects that I want to produce. And now I have this, you know, envelope, you know, like a folder full of resumes of really amazing women that I'm going to go back to. But just for this was the winning combination to me. And then when we ended up.
What I heard was, you have sense. She met me and was like, Blue is crazy. Who has the most sense of everybody that I've looked at? That's fine.
Yeah.
We heard that differently.
No,
you're sensible.
And you did say that.
You pay your taxes on. She did. Okay.
No. I'm the diplomat of the group. Yes, like, I'm kind
that's
of
fine.
The,
you have
okay,
sense.
Guys, let's bring this up.
My name is Blue. My hair is red. I'm just all over the place. Yeah, it's fine.
So for clarification purposes, you are not a Haitian witch.
I'm a Haitian Cuban.
Yes.
Witch-ish.
Okay. Oh. But what is the word? It's not clairvoyant. What is the
I
word?
I am a clairsentient.
There it is, clairsentient. I've been trying to tell people she's not a witch. She's a clair something.
Clairvoyant means you have visions. Like, that's so Raven. Clairsentient means that you know things that you're not supposed to know.
Okay.
So sometimes when I make a joke in front of strangers, they get upset because it's not a joke and I'm actually like picking up on something.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Dinner parties get awkward.
Yes. Yeah.
Very awkward. People crying, throwing plates, and I'm like, I just came here for the look at that!
Hey!
That was not even on purpose. See? This is kismet. I get into a lot of trouble and end up just somewhere near the food while people are yelling and screaming.
Mm.
Like, I didn't know you were getting a divorce. Like, I didn't tell anybody else.
Neither did anyone else.
Yeah.
Oh,
that happened.
Okay.
We'll share about that later.
Okay. Well, I wanted to, take this time to give the viewing audience a chance to get to know you guys. You know, they already know me. So I want them to kind of get to know who you guys are. So since we're already talking about you being a clairsentient, she does tarot card readings.
I'm a very good tarot card reader.
Yeah, you are. She was like, Melissa, I know you don't want to do this, but the cards are talking to me.
They were screaming at you.
Yeah. And I was just like, fine. And she read my cards and it wasn't even like, okay, well, that could have applied to anybody, because she did a round robin, you know, like there's more than one. We were in the jacuzzi at
the
time.
It was like six of us.
And there was like
six
of us
reading
in the jacuzzi, and everybody's reading was completely different, and everybody felt like that's really what's happening in my life right now. Like, that's the direction my life is going in.
Yeah.
You know? So that was pretty fascinating. I didn't have anything against tarot card readings, but I'm just really like, I don't want to know. Let my future
unfold. It's true, though, but like sometimes there's a warning. right? Yeah. Like sometimes you're out of balance. I think like tarot card readings are kind of like taking a temperature psychically. Like, you know, when mm-hmm. you have a cold or a flu or something, they take your temperature. Mm-hmm. It just tells you where you are. And if you like where you are, do more of it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, that's your cue that you might want to stop before it gets to the inevitable outcome.
Got it.
So it's empowering. Mm. It's not even meant to like predict your future. It's just taking your temperature.
Right.
I've gotten some really bad tarot card readings and not liked what I saw.
Yeah.
And completely went out of my way to change my future. And then and back like a month later mm-hmm. and my card reader be like, I don't know what you did, but you completely turned it around.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Okay.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I want to have the audience understand like who you guys are, you know, past the fact that I fell in love with them. Yeah. So like, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Like, you know, who you are, what do you do for a living, where can they find you? Like, you know, what makes
Blue are we Blue... looking for husbands? This is
no, but
oh
then,
my god, I'm but then, different hair.
Yeah,
okay.
But then also, I want the audience to kind of understand, like, you know, why I chose you, like, what and what it is that you want to like bring to the table, you know,
well,
in terms
I can do
of,
that.
You know, repping for. Women of color.
I'm trying to think about all the things that I want in a couple sentences. My name is Blue. I don't like long walks on the beach because the sand hurts my toes. I'm not a natural redhead. I actually am really, really passionate about emotional intelligence. Like, I love pop culture. I love current events. My middle initial is E, so my initials are ET. They mm-hmm. used to call me ET.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
I thought I meant Entertainment Tonight, but they meant the alien, so that mm-hmm. hurt. So, yeah, like, I just love having fun with really serious topics. Mm-hmm. I'm really into politics. I spent some time with Mayor Pete this week. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. He's short.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 5'7"-ish. Mm. But he was very sweet, and he answered my questions. And I asked him really provocative questions.
You asked a really good question.
Yeah, and yeah. So I love politics. I love pop culture, but I also love history. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes try to, like, bring history up so that we don't repeat our mistakes. Mm-hmm. I'm technically what they consider a cultural critic, mm-hmm. which is weird because it just means that you get paid to give your opinion about mm-hmm. the culture.
Yeah,
which
and
is
you
awesome.
Write.
Yeah.
You have a lot of great opinions.
I have a lot of very provocative opinions.
Yes.
That if I don't make you uncomfortable, you're not listening long enough, right?
Right.
Because wow. the truth is not supposed to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So if you're constantly that's listening true. To me and nothing has snatched your wig, I haven't done my job.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I'm that girl. I'm yeah. compassionate, but I'm not that nice.
Okay.
Compassion is better than being nice.
Okay. Because sometimes yeah, no, it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but sometimes sure. nice wants to be liked more than it wants to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm always going to put honest ahead of being liked.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what makes me more compassionate than kind. Yeah.
Because compassion, you can't have true compassion yeah. with someone while you're, for someone while
compassion
you're
refuses
to
let you compromise your integrity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if everybody mm-hmm. wants to cry afterwards, you have to tell the truth. Nice absolutely. Means...
Yeah.
We could fudge it. I don't.
You're right.
It.
Nice yeah. doesn't always mean honest.
It doesn't always
yeah.
mean honest.
Yeah.
No.
That's very true. And but you're also a writer as well. I very much enjoy writing or reading your pieces.
I'm colorful.
Yeah.
That's the word that my editor keeps using. I'm not sure what that means. Uh-huh. I hope it's a nice comment, but I'm a colorful writer.
And you're right. Yeah. You write for The Griot.
I write for The Griot. I just actually finished my first script for
hey.
A TV
oh
pilot.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's exciting.
I want you guys to like binge watch my show on Netflix someday.
Yeah, well, that's the goal.
Yay!
Yeah,
everybody's gonna have cameos. Everybody's gonna have cameos. Whatever shows we all do, we have to have cameos.
Okay, done. I love that. I love that.
It's packed.
Yeah. Okay. So Chantel, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. As you can tell, I'm interviewing them today.
Okay? Yeah, Oprah. That's fine.
Y'all already know me. But tell the audience a little bit about yourself. And you did not get the casting notice. Like, so how did you hear about it? And like, what?
No.
Just from your perspective, walking in the door, go.
I was really excited to be here, but I had no idea what I was walking into.
Mm-hmm.
I had started working with a woman who was kind of helping me produce my life because mm-hmm. I am all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a true creative. Mm-hmm. And so she said, hey, there's this thing that I want you to go to. It'll be really great for you. I said, okay, great. When is it? She said, after church. Mm-hmm. We were in church. She texted me about it and was uh-huh. like, hey, there's this thing. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll show up. So I walked in and I met Corey was the first person I met. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, fill out this paper and you're going to get ready in a second. And I said, okay, this is awesome. Thank you. This is beautiful. But can you just tell me a little bit about what I'm doing here? Because I don't really know what's going
wow.
on. So I... ended up here. I believe everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. I don't believe anything's by chance. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, it was on accident. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I walked in, I mean, I saw you, I saw your energy, and you were just a beautiful person, you know? Thank you. And I was really excited to be here and glad to be here. Aww, now.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see what you did as far as the balance, though.
That you're the sensible one.
Right.
We can call it that. No, that's fine.
But as you were describing, like, who you are, you're a cultural critic. You love to know about everything that's going on. For me, I've always said I operate my life on a need-to-know basis. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if I don't need to know it, if I can't do something about it, then I really don't care. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't care.
Savage.
But... Wow. Not that I don't care, but it's pointless energy for me to focus on the things that I can't change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be over here trying to change my corner of the world. And hopefully in that corner of the world, I change someone who can change someone who can change someone who can change someone. And we can get to everything I can't control. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of approach life. So when you're sitting here talking about pop culture and all of this stuff, I'm just like, yeah, when I need to know it, I'll know it and I'll have an opinion on it. But I know a lot mm-hmm. about a little mm-hmm. until I need to know more.
Listen, the older that I get, the more I realize I don't know shit.
I don't know anything.
Right, right.
Yeah. Exactly. Like literally, like when you're in your teens, 20s, you're like, oh, I know everything.
Oh, yeah.
The older that you get, you're like, I don't know shit.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about nothing about nothing. Like let me just carve out this little tiny pocket in the world and just live, exist right here. Because this makes sense. This is all I can make sense of, you know?
Yeah. But I do dream very big. And mm-hmm. so I have these giant plans. My faith is really important to me. So mm-hmm. I work as hard as I can to live by the Bible. Mm-hmm. I started a brand called Confidently His. Mm-hmm. So I loved the word in your...
Unapologetic
mm-hmm. because that is kind of how I've been my whole life. Even mm-hmm. before I was a faith person, I was very unapologetic in my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely love that. Confidently His is about being more confident and faithful, unapologetic about your life. So I absolutely love that. That's what I do. I live it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm a speaker. I speak on confidence and leadership. Mm-hmm. I used to play basketball. I played mm-hmm. in the WNBA for 6 years.
WNBA, guys. Let's do a drinking game. Every time Chantel says WNBA, I'm going to have a shot of vodka twice. Water.
It's been twice. But yeah, so that's me.
Okay. Well,
I'm just saying, it's fine. I wish I could be in the WNBA.
I think...
See, if you were tall, maybe.
5'9", guys. The little person that I am.
Who was the shortest person in the WNBA? Because, like, you know, in the NBA, they had, like, Muggsy Bogues and, like, you know, they've had...
Isn't Steph Curry, like, my height?
No, he's actually, 6'3". Yeah.
Why did I think Steph Curry was short?
Nate Robinson was on the shorter NBA, end.
He looks short, but
yeah. You know, y'all's going to stop coming from my height. I am a tall girl.
I can't talk over here. Look at these, okay?
So in those, she's probably 5'9".
Yeah, too. I'm about 5'8"-ish in these because they're
they look good.
I haven't seen these in a while.
What this is what always happens. We end up looking at somebody's outfit. today has reminded me why this is such a good idea, because I haven't seen you guys in like a week or two. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I missed them. I wonder what they're doing. Aww. And so I'm kind of happy we're finally doing this.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it too. And I'm really excited to see you know, the audience's response. Obviously this is like very much a, you know, you guys get to know them kind of
episode. Our sneak peek.
This is the sneak peek.
Oh,
yeah.
We're official. We have a sneak peek.
This is the sneak peek. But the one thing that I want to do is I want to, when we do bring in guests, want to bring in women that, you know, kind of encompass the idea that I believe that we all do. I want to bring in unapologetic badasses. I want to bring in women that are, you know, that are admirable for the simple fact that they live their lives on their terms. And so sometimes it's going to be celebrities. I have a wish list of you know, guests that I really want to feature.
Manifested.
Let's go.
It's happening. You know, a lot of your favorites I'm going to bring in. But then I also want to bring in, you know, spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. I want to bring in from all faiths. you know. Mm-hmm. I want there to be a dialogue, you know, to unpack a lot of the things that I see people arguing about online. So this show is basically just kind of like an introductory, you know, episode to getting to know you two. You guys, yay, getting to know them. But eventually we're going to have guests. And like I said, like, I am a really big fan of, you know, women that are unapologetic badasses, you know, like battle-tested warrior types. I love women that. Battle-tested absolutely warrior types.
You should, yes, trademark that.
I'm trademarking a lot of shit right now. It's expensive.
Melissa's out, yes, here living her best life, just so we're all clear.
I'm trying.
Listen, okay, protecting that intellectual property,
I,
girl,
see you.
I'm trying my best. Yeah. But I just, you know, women that live their life on their terms. You know, women that we admire, mm-hmm, women that we, you know, aspire to be something like. Like, I remember when I was 7 years old, I was watching The Cosby Show. Oh. And I saw Claire Huxtable, Felicia Rashad. And I had never seen anything like her before in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was beautiful, but in such a understated way. She didn't need glitz and glamour. She just was beautiful, but she, yeah, was, her strength emanated from her. Mm. She was poised. She was composed.
I loved her.
She could read, yeah, somebody, you know, her children, her husband, Elvin.
Poor Elvin.
She was just so incredible to me. And, you know, my mom is white, you know, long blonde hair, green eyes, give her a hat with horns, send her out to battle. She's like this, she's like a Viking,
Scandinavian,
you know, Russian Scandinavian woman, you know. And my mom is very quiet. Yeah. She's very, you know, accommodating. And so I had never seen anything like this. My grandmother, my father's mother, my black grandmother, died before I was born. So I'd never seen an example of a woman like Claire Huxtable in my, yeah, entire, and I was only seven, so how much had I seen? But she just set a tone for me,
wow,
that I decided that is what I want to be when I grow up. Those are the characteristics that I wanted to embody because I thought that they were so just incredible. And so I started working on my posture.
Oh.
Because when I was younger, I was pigeon-toed, horribly pigeon-toed. Oh. So much to the point where I would trip over my own feet.
Oh my gosh. I'm, yeah, pigeon-toed too, and I used to change.
I am not pigeon-toed.
I used to put the wrong foot on, the wrong shoe on the other foot so that I could try to correct my, no, yeah, it never worked.
That was your version of corrective shoes. Me, what I did was I was a total throwback. I had buck teeth, pigeon-toed, like I was a fucking mess. Thanks, Mom.
Wow.
For nothing. I worked it all out on my own. But I used to walk around with books on my head.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I used to walk around with books on my head. Heavy books like Encyclopedia Britannica. Yes, I just aged myself. But like heavy books on my head so that I could, you know, just like focus on like correcting my posture and walking with. Now I don't walk with my feet out like this or in like this. I walk completely straight. That's my gait. So I worked on things like that, and I just memorized everything about her. And then when Lena Horne came on the show, it was just more of a, it just was more validation that yeah, was the direction I wanted to go in. I was like, oh my God, it's an older version of her. You know, not knowing who Lena Horne was at
Claire
the time.
Claire 3.0.
You, yes, know, exactly. And then when Nancy Wilson came on and she.
An even older version of her.
I mean, you know, it was all these, yeah, I think that was done on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it was so many examples of strong, intelligent, beautiful, composed women of color. And yeah, that was what I decided that I wanted to be, you know? And wow, so those are the kinds of guests that I want to have on the show. Women that aspire to be something like, you know, when we're younger or, yeah, even now. And just women that inspire us to be better versions of ourselves, live our best lives.
Yeah.
So that's my goal. I've got a whole wish list, and it's going to be more than just celebrity women. that I admire and that I think will add to the conversation. I also want politicians. Hashtag goals. Maxine Waters. You know, Kamala Harris. I want these women on the show. I want April Ryan on the show.
That'd be dope.
I want to get Chelsea Handler on the show because she has a show right now on Netflix called Hello Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea.
I want to see that. Is that good?
I want to see it.
I watched it.
I haven't watched it.
Is it good or is it? Yeah. Are there moments where you wanted to pull her aside?
No. I really appreciated that Chelsea decided to have the conversation and acknowledge, you know, that she is privileged and that she's been privileged her whole life, unbeknownst to her.
Yeah.
That she's acknowledging what her privilege looks like, what it feels like, where it is, like, and how it has opened up doors to her that her counterparts, women of color, just have not had the same experiences. Boyfriends of hers.
She's dated a lot of black men.
Yes, yeah, so she has. She has one.
Opened her eyes a little bit earlier.
You guys should watch, Hello Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea. But I would love to have people like her on. I would also love to have spiritual leaders on because we all, you know, have different spiritual leanings here. Yeah. You're a Christian. Mm-hmm. I am not.
I might be a witch.
And
so
you might be a witch.
A lot
so happening. You know,
There's a lot going on in this room, guys.
The funny thing is, she walked in. I was like, okay, so you're a Haitian witch, like Wiccan? Is that what you are? And she was like, no. And I was like,
Wiccans
oh shit.
Are very Eurocentric.
Yeah.
I believe in traditional African religions, like what we had before we got here. So, yeah, I am not a Wiccan. Shout out to the Wiccans. I'm not one of y'all. But,
right.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, there's been a study because, you know, we love studies here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a study saying that there's a really big and quickly growing group of black women that are returning to traditional African religions.
OK. Yeah.
Because they have a disconnect with white Jesus. Right.
Right.
And so because this thing of like, I want to live Christ-like, but I would like, you know, what was my family doing before they knew who Christ was?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny because you start to see the ways that a lot of people who were doing African religions, but who had to pretend to be Christian, blended African traditions into what is now considered black Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting conversation about how those two worlds got married. And so a lot of times you'll see a witch who is usually literally using the Bible as part of her doctrine, even though technically she's a witch.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I love how you bring up like white Jesus. Like, first of all, white Jesus is a fictional character that America made up. Like, white Jesus
we
is
agree.
Not a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's so I not agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, not everybody no,
I
agrees
totally,
with us.
I totally agree
not
with you.
Not everybody agrees with us. Some people think white Jesus is literally what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, white Jesus is not even a person.
Ooh, that's provocative.
No.
And it's coming from the Christian. You see that? Nobody saw
Listen,
that coming.
I think the thing, you know, Melissa talked about similarities and differences. Our differences are very vast, but our similarities, like I believe in telling people the truth.
Yeah.
And I think Christianity in America has become less about telling people the truth and more about money and success and fame of the people who are actually preaching it. So
talk about it.
I think we're going to find that we agree on a lot more than you think we agree.
No, I actually think we don't disagree. I think like we're in the same car going to different places. Like,
I'm going to say like I'm going to love the disagreements. How about that? I'm going to say I'm going to really enjoy those things.
But we don't believe in white Jesus either.
So
for
neither
the
one of us agrees on white Jesus. Who thought that was going to happen?
That wasn't where I thought that. You know,
I didn't see that happening at all.
That's not it. And you know, for the audience, I'm going to save my reasons. You know, telling you the story about why I said that so adamantly that I am not Christian, because I have a very, very long story related to how I've come to where I am now, what my spiritual beliefs are, because I was baptized Catholic. And guess what? I didn't.
Me too.
No, but here's the thing. Check it.
Me too.
No, but listen, I didn't know. You know when I found out? I was 37. My mother told me when I was 37, and it was a conversation that she was having with my godmother. So my godmother and her met in high school. My godmother is like Italian from the old country, okay? And so they were having it. My godmother hadn't seen me in a really long time. So she's sitting there looking at me. She was just like, you know, shaking her head. She was just like, you are just piss and vinegar. And I was like, well, thank you. I agree with that. Maybe a little bit of, you know, sativa thrown in there. You know, I meant stevia. Sorry.
We are not going to lie to you guys.
But she turns to my mother and she was just like, we did good, Barbie. You know, my mom's name is Barbara. So she was like, we did good. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What was that? What was that exchange that you guys just had right now? And then my godmother says, well, we were both raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And when we were in high school, when we met in high school, we decided that if we ever had daughters, we were not going to raise them Catholic and we were going to break the cycle. And I was like, I'm Catholic? And my mother's like, you knew that. I was like, you're a liar. Every time I said I wanted to go to Catholic school because I wanted to wear a uniform, you said, but you're not Catholic. And she was like, oh, well. And I was like, what the fuck, lady? You know? And so I was like, and I said, well, I said, make that make sense to me. What does that mean, break the cycle? And she was just like, Catholicism teaches women that they are secondary, mm-hmm. that they are not, you know, that the man is what's important. Obey, you
know? It's full of shame too.
Exactly. And she was like, we did not want you, we wanted you guys to make your own choices. That was what we wanted for you. And my godmother's daughter is very much like me. She's, you know, she's a very spirited woman. She is very opinionated. She's very unapologetic. She's, you know, she's dope. She's, if I do say so myself. So I will leave that for a whole other conversation when we do have, you know, kind of like a spiritual leader here, so I can talk a little bit about, you know, my experiences with Catholicism and Christianity growing up, because they sucked. They really were very traumatic. But I'll save that for another time. What I also want to do is I do not want to leave men out of the conversation.
Nope.
We cannot have this kind of the dialogue that we want to have without including men. We can, mm-hmm. We cannot just talk about our reproductive rights and abortion and child rearing, et cetera, without including men in the conversation. We can't. Yeah. I spend a lot of time in comment sections, like a lot.
Why? Oh, that is so.
I have to do it for my job, like research purposes and stuff. And then also, you know, I went to school for forensic psychology, so I've always been fascinated by the human condition.
The underbelly of it, though.
Yeah,
that's what's in the comment section.
I wanted to study serial killers. I studied the deviant mind. You know, cognitive. You know, therapy stuff. All kinds of crazy shit. But the comment section is just so fascinating because. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, there is a war with the genders, you know, and there's just so much finger pointing.
So
you niggas ain't shit. And well, you bitches ain't shit. And it's just like, OK, well, if we
everybody's
all
horrible.
Shit,
well, everybody's horrible.
Okay? What's the problem?
We all suck. Can we start over? Everybody sucks.
Yeah.
That's my version of a pep talk.
Yeah.
You suck. He sucks. He sucks, too.
Exactly.
Let's
so
start over.
When I say that I want to incorporate men into the conversation, sometimes we're going to have male guests on.
What kind of men, though? Because
hold that thought. I just want to prep the audience for what's coming.
I'm triggered by fuckboys. Can we say those words? I don't know. What are the words?
We can. Okay, this is a podcast.
I'm
we can curse all we
them.
Want.
Okay.
But
I apologize, Chantel. Uckboys.
You good. No judgment.
I'm triggered by uckboys.
No. So what we're going to be doing, you know, it's there's a Jay-Z lyric, you know, from the, what is it? I think it's Excuse Me, Miss. So I'm getting this imaging, you know, music imaging done.
Yeah.
And so he refers to himself as emergency dick in a glass. So that's what the guys are going to be called that come on the show. You know, they're going to be in on the joke. But it's just like, crack it open. Let's get a dick's opinion.
It's my dick in a glass.
But what I do want is I want to have, you know, high on my wish list. I want to have, you know, love ambassadors like Derek Jackson come on the show.
Oh, he coming? Okay.
And I hope so.
I hope he comes on the show. I can't wait.
Yeah. So when he comes back, can you like just give everybody like a shout out like a week or two beforehand so procedures can happen?
What kind of procedure?
I just want to be well exfoliated when this happens.
All right, fine.
I'm
going to
get a new wig and everything. It's going to be amazing.
Okay, well, he's on the wish list. But I also want to have male sex workers like Mr. Marcus, you know, the porn star.
Mr. Marcus? I grew up on. Wait, that doesn't came out right.
I'm like, okay. What?
You just told
I grew up watching Mr. Marcus. Really? I grew up watching Mr. Marcus. He's a porn star.
Yeah. But then I also.
I had a weird childhood.
But then.
I'm oversharing. I am so sorry, guys. Go ahead. I don't know who he is. Go ahead.
You do know who he is.
No, Mr. Marcus is
I'm
going
to say two
neighbor.
Words to you, Lexington Steel.
I grew up on him too.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't talk to my mother about why I was exposed.
I'm like, grew up on what? Like, listen.
I was trying to learn how to use the VCR when I was 7 years old. And I hit play, and my father hadn't ejected what he was watching, and that's how I learned about sex.
My parents wouldn't even let me watch The Simpsons. I mean,
nobody let me. I was pressing buttons.
Same here.
Yeah.
I found my dad's stash.
Oh, my
God. And I used to entertain my friends in the neighborhood watching his porn stash.
You know what? This is why we're kindred, because I found a tape, and my cousin liked it. And back then, I had no money, so I was like, how much will you pay me to watch it? And he gave me a quarter.
Uh-huh.
So I started like a ring of like lending out my dad's pornos for a quarter a night. And that was my first entrepreneur job ever at 7 years old, was renting out porn.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm being serious.
You started young.
7 years old, first job. I was making like $4 a week.
Wow.
Which is a lot when you're seven.
I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur, but I sold yarn dolls door to door.
No, I sold pornos. And then I got caught and took the money and flipped it into candy on the school bus. My first job was sex.
You
my second job was candy.
You were a smut Let's peddler at 7 years old. Seven.
And I had a boyfriend named Junior.
But do you see why
I had a boyfriend and a job.
Do you see why I chose her?
I'm doing worse now. I had a boyfriend and a job at seven. Now I'm in my 30s. And I feel like I barely have either. Okay, this has gotten ugly.
Okay. Well, anyways, I say, besides male sex workers, I also want to have critical thinkers. I want to have friends of mine like Dr. Mark Lamont Hill.
Ooh.
I want to have Jeff Johnson on the show. I nice. Want to have Toray on the show.
Jadena.
Okay.
I think you have some other motives for having
he's what's next in the music industry.
Yeah.
And that we should support our Pan-African brother.
Yeah.
I like his back.
His album is amazing.
It's the best album of 2019.
It's pretty fantastic. Anyways, I say all that to say that this is, you know, those are the kind of guests that you can look forward to us having on the show.
Love it.
And I know that we now know that they're very excited about that. You know, it's honestly, it's really fun because look, I've been doing this a really long time. I've interviewed so many people. I mean, like Mary J. Blige, Timberland, like you, a lot of people. And there's some people where I'm just like really yes. excited, you know, like Jennifer Lewis. When we interviewed her,
oh my gosh,
it was like my heart was in my throat.
I love her.
I was praying that she was going to live up to the idea I had in my head of
Did
her.
She
exceeded it.
Oh my gosh, don't you love when that happens?
She like gave me chills. She made me laugh. I was bawling. I was shaking. I was like, get a hold of yourself, Melissa. You are a fucking professional. But it was really hard.
Your internal dialogue is a little stern. My God.
Huh?
That's not how you talk to yourself
yes,
in your head.
Yeah,
we're going to have a whole episode on Melissa's internal dialogue. Come on, your asshole, get up. Like, that's a little scary. let's work on softening that up. Did you hear?
I did, but I mean, I talked to myself kind of like mine. Like, get your life together.
My yeah. turn to like, I was like, it's okay, Blue, you can do it.
No, it's not fine.
No, I mean, that there's no room for that in sports. Like, we have a game in 15 minutes. Get out of your feelings, stop crying, and get ready to
but
play.
But I can say like, all that without sounding mad. I'm like, look, Blue, you know what? Life is hard. Just get the fuck up. Life is hard. It's okay.
Yeah, no. My internal dialogue has, I've had to come to terms with, at one point in my life, how cruel I was to myself. You know,
absolutely.
And how, yeah. You know, and how I used to just torture myself. I was the definition of a masochist. Masochist definition picture of Melissa.
But you're a Scorpio. Wow.
And I'm a Scorpio.
That's what
so
y'all do, though.
So
y'all live in the dark.
We self-flagellate, you know, like, you know, whipping ourselves and shit
on,
like
you know,
that. We put ourselves through the ringer on purpose, you know. In, you know, just I guess it's
is
like,
it cathartic
in the pursuit of enlightenment. Oh fuck, I don't know, whatever it is, we come out the other side, hopefully.
Well, I have a quick question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how kind is your internal dialogue?
I've gotten much better. I've become a lot kinder to myself and my, you know, internal dialogue, because I used to be vicious. I convinced myself, you know, being in the public eye, that I had to be crueler than anybody else could be to withstand public criticism.
Wow.
So anything that anybody said to me did not compare to what I'd already said to myself.
Oh my God, we're gonna have to unpack that.
That was how I tried to thicken my skin. It didn't work.
Right.
The words of others, criticisms of others still hurt, like felt like I was being stabbed.
Almost like a cosign, because you said
and
it first.
It's like you're kicking yourself when you're down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I was very, very, very good at that. I just had to, it was just my way of dealing with disappointment, you know, and it with just preparing myself with the expectation of it, you know?
I think that word is important, the expectation, because we tend to get our hearts broken the most when we let ourselves expect something that's not really there. Mm-hmm. But I always say my internal dialogue is always accountable, but never cruel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the line that I have. Like, I will always hold myself accountable because I don't really like excuses. Mm-hmm. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But I will never be cruel to myself under the guise of holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
Because I do that for years.
I think that's the goal to get to, is accountability without cruelty. I know for me, Melissa, I'm a lot more like you in that my standard is so high for myself that, and when I don't make it, it's just guilt and shame and beating myself up. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a conversation one time and somebody was like, okay, would you talk to your best friend the way you talk to yourself? And if you did, would you be best friends? Would they be best friends with you?
Yeah.
And right away, a picture of my sister Kristen pops up in my mind. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would never talk to Kristen the way I talk to myself.
Yeah.
And what, for whatever reason, that moment was just that switch. It was like, okay, I have to work on this.
Yeah.
And as you said, I've gotten a lot better, but it's still like, listen, Chantel, get out your feelings.
Yeah.
Like, you got
it. But you can say that kindly. So it's not like you don't get to say all the epic things. It's just the tone that you have with yourself has to be more intentional.
Yeah. Grace and gratitude. That is a mantra that I try to live by repeatedly. Grace and gratitude. I have to give myself grace and just acknowledge, like, I am doing the best I can right now where I am with what I have. I'm doing the best I can. And then I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then continue to go for it. So grace and gratitude. Tell myself that all the time.
So that's a topic that I would want to expound on a little bit later on, with an entire episode maybe wrapped around a guest who focuses on mental health.
That'd be amazing. Psychology. I would love
that. Something like that, where we discuss, you know, our internal narrative, our internal dialogue, things like that. You know, so that's all, you know, stuff that you guys can look forward to. So we're going to wrap up this episode with some hot button questions.
We're already wrapping up?
Yeah, I know. The time flies when you're having fun, girl.
Oh my God. I was just chilling. Like, ooh, when's the second half going to start?
I know.
Okay, let me sit up then.
I had Chantel mentioned Corey. Corey is in the back. Corey is indispensable. She doesn't have a title. She is just literally like, I can't function without her.
Corey's the glue.
She's the glue. She's basically the glue. Show producer as well. And so she did some digging. I am a very big fan of the page Spiritual World on Instagram.
I've never heard of that.
It's so great. They pose so many fantastic questions to their audience and get the dialogue going. Like, their engagement is crazy. And oftentimes I'm just like, just going through the comments. I'm just like, and then I have to comment on some shit, you know, because it's funny or it's thought provoking.
It's almost like Melissa Ford just commented on my Instagram. People probably like,
The Spiritual World, they got like a million followers. So like, a lot of people are in their comment section, like a lot of people with blue check marks and stuff. And also, they are supportive of Hollywood Unlocked. So sometimes I post the questions that they've said on the page.
Oh, so they family then. Okay.
I pose them to the boys, and that ends up being hilarious.
I'm about to get questions. You feel it?
Yeah. So here's my hot button question.
I'm not nervous. Oh, I'm nervous. Okay.
Here's the hot button questions that I got. You're on a first date.
Oh.
His card declines. Do you pay for both meals or just yours?
Definitely both. Like, because I don't want either of us walking out of there embarrassed. Okay. I mean, he's already.
We're already embarrassed.
I'm sure,
honey.
I'm sure he's already embarrassed.
No, we're embarrassed.
but he probably feels worse.
Maybe.
So I'm going to.
Not if it's a scam.
Yeah.
He could be
a dine and dasher.
You are in LA, okay? An LA man is like a New York woman, okay? No, I'm not playing these games with y'all. No,
I'm gonna pay for both. And if I think he was genuine, then I'll give him another chance. Okay, I think it was a scam, then I'm gonna pay for both so we can both get out of there and then be gone.
Okay, so hold on, Blue. Just you hold your answer, because I want to.
I think this is my answer.
Like, yeah. Okay. I want to two part this with you. So does your attraction for him take a hit because of this situation?
I think I would want to investigate more. Like, because I've had a card declined because they mailed me a new one and they canceled it, right? And I hate when that happens. And I'm like, listen, I know I have money in this account. What the heck just happened? And it was just because of something like that. So if something like that happened, like, I'm going to always try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, but I'm definitely going to ask some questions. Like, so...
where's my Uber? I don't even know what to do with this question. Y'all, I feel triggered. Can we have like a bell?
Blues.
We feel triggered.
So Blue's okay. Not with the shits. No?
Oh, are we on me?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you come like playing in my face over a meal, we're going to have a problem. And I'm going to ask you if you're okay. And then you're going to say fine. And then I'm going to go to the bathroom and call an Uber.
Okay.
I'm not staying around for that. I've actually had... so many dates where I was scammed on or where I found out that they do this to everybody. I tend to date people who are shiny and therefore, what do my friends call them? Bums with swag. So they're the shiny thing in the room that everybody wants. Yeah. And then I think I'm special for getting them until I realize that they're dusty and low-key ashy. So I am not paying for the meals of any ashen men. And I'd be like, oh, this is really horrible. You should call your bank right now.
Okay.
I'm not paying for your meal.
Right.
I guess I just feel like, like, if you are at a position where you feel like you need to scam me on a date, then you're worse off than I am anyway. And I'm not paying for that, though. I'm going to help. Like, I'm just going to get out of the situation. So
you can get out of the situation by leaving. Yeah, I'm not paying for that.
I feel like I would.
And the thing is, I think the old me would have paid, right? The old me did all that, and it kept happening.
So you are, I'm hearing the trigger. I'm hearing the trauma.
Yeah, so it's happened to me in the past, and what I realized is, like, one time Tyler Perry was talking about abuse, and he said that he got abused one time, but once it happened to him one time, it was like blood in the water for sharks.
When
you start to be that person, people can smell that wiggle room in you, and like, it attracts others, and that's happened to me where I was constantly, like, giving the benefit of the doubt over and over and over again, and then I had more things to doubt. So now I'm like, if you can't pay for it, I'm really sorry. You should really call your bank. Call me from the house when you figure it out.
I don't think that's ever happened to me.
I will definitely say that this show will probably be as therapeutic for them as it will be for you. On that note,
of all the questions to ask, you had to ask that one. I'm heavily triggered on our first sneak peek special, guys. This is a wonderful social experiment.
On that note, I want to thank everybody for tuning into our first episode. And I am really excited about what we are going to, you know, feed the world.
Yay! Come through, metaphor!
On that note, take care, guys. Bye.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.